The last few Sunday evenings, we've been looking at Psalms 86. We kind of just started out looking at verse 1, and we kind of haven't stopped yet, so we'll look at another verse. Psalms 86. And I want to read verse 1 again, although we've read it and looked at it, but Psalms 86 and 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. So that kind of sets the tone for this psalm. We pray that we realize that we are poor and needy, and we're not like those at Laodicea. Oh, we're rich in increase of goods, and we don't need anything. And that's what the religious world kind of feels. Your salvation is based on what you do, and they don't realize they're poor and needy, just like those in the church of Laodicea, or at least some of them in the church of Laodicea. So this evening, I'd like to look at verse 5, what it's saying and what it's not saying. Psalms 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all those who call upon thee. So he is plenteous in mercy, thankful for his mercy, and we'll never forget one of the things Brother Mort taught us, that we look for his mercy and not our merit as God would look at us. So this psalmist is talking about that he is plenteous in mercy, but it says something else let me point it out. Thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy, unto all those who call upon thee. So he is not plenteous in mercy to everyone. It tells us to certain ones. And to those that call upon him. So is this saying that the first step is you call on the Lord, and then he has mercy on you, and then saves you? That's what much of the religious world believes. The first step is you, or I. Is that true? You say, well, it's kind of what it says. Well, let's not be too quick on that. It is true what it's saying. We talked about recently, but the Lord told us it's line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So let's look at some other little things along with this and see what it's saying. Plenteous in mercy unto all those who call upon thee. That is true. But is it? And it is limited, the mercy. He's not plenteous in mercy to all. I mean, we can see that. But he's plenteous in mercy to those that call on him. So, and you can read a lot. We won't read a lot tonight, a little bit about calling upon the Lord. We'll talk about that tonight, Lord willing. But people can go to this and say, well, see, it's up to us. We have to take the first, we have to call first. Let's go to the 17th chapter of Luke, where we'll read about the the 10 lepers. And there's many teachings in this. We're looking kind of for one thing this evening, but there's much teaching in this, of course. But what we're looking for is it up to us to first call on Him? Then He has mercy. So, Luke 17, and let's start in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men there who were lepers, who stood afar off. And you know, under the law, they had to stay separated and everything. It was unlawful for them to touch somebody or anything like that because they were lepers. And they were standing afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I may stop on the Samaritan just a moment. You know about the Samaritans. They were really looked down on, called half-breeds and everything. And whenever they were occupied, Samaria wasn't going well for those who occupied them. Wasn't going well. And they said, well, let's take some of the Israelites and some of the priests and put in there Samaria, and maybe it'll go better for us. So we have a mixture there. We see that. But they were really looked down on by Israel and so forth. Verse 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that is returned to give glory to God except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee well. So 10 lepers, we've talked about this before, bringing different points out of it, and we won't go to all those this evening, but 10 lepers, one returned to give glory, yet he healed them all. And we won't dwell on that this evening. Let's go back to verse 12 and kind of work our way through this a little bit. Verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off. And verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. So it's obviously they are doing what our text said. They're crying out, have mercy on us. He's plenteous in mercy. Have mercy on us. And they were doing exactly that. So is that true? They first called out to him. And then he healed them of leprosy. In our text, they first called out to him, and he's plenteous in mercy towards them. Is that what it's saying? Verse 11, kind of going backwards a little bit here. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So on the way to Jerusalem, he came through Samaria. Accident? Well, we know better than that, don't we? So verse 12 then, following up on that. So he went through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off. How did these lepers know to meet him? How did these lepers know to call on him? So now we're starting to, well, what I like to say, throw a monkey wrench in the cogs of those that believe that we first call on the Lord and then he saves us. And there's a lot of scriptures about calling on the Lord. We'll read a few of them. But is that what it is? So I ask some questions here. So these lepers, the Lord was coming through Samaria. And here they were, afar off, but I suppose there was a path or a road or something. And they were far off, and they called on him. How did they know? Luke chapter 9. And verse 51, 9:51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. So the Lord knew where he's going to go. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He knew he's going by the way of Samaritan. But here we see he sent messengers before. And they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. What do you think? They made sure that there was a feast for him to eat, or the manger had a lot of straw in it, or the accommodation is going to be good. Do you think that's what they did to make ready? Luke 10 and 1, in connection with what we just read. After these things, the Lord appointed other servants and sent them two by two before his face to every city and place where he himself would come. So that tells us something, doesn't it? That tells us, that answers the question, how these lepers knew that he was coming and how these lepers knew to call on him. So before they called on Jesus to have mercy on them, they had already heard of Jesus. He sent his disciples two by two to preach to them. And two by two is a number of witnesses, of course. I'm not real big on numerology, but certainly two by two, and you can study a lot about it, only by the mouth of two witnesses and so forth and so on. But here, this tells us something, that these lepers didn't just out of the blue, oh, well, there's a guy, looks like he could help us. I'm being maybe a little funny here. But when he came, they knew. They knew who he was. They knew his powers. Well, how did they know that? Because the ones the Lord sent before his face to make ready for him. And for many years, I didn't know that, actually. But when the Lord went to these cities, they had already went before to preach. And you think you can see how that's a good thing, but also it kind of warned the Pharisees and the Sadducees, oh, here comes this guy. But they went and they preached to them and everything. So these lepers That's how they knew to call on him. That's how they knew, have mercy on us. That's how they knew. So there was another step taken before they called on the Lord, wasn't there? First step wasn't taken by them. Other steps have been taken. The Lord sent them to, they were preached to, witnessed to, whatever terminology you want to use. So, calling on the Lord is kind of what we're talking about. Where's the sequence of that? Am I saying it's not important? No, I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying we put it in its proper place. And the proper place is that the Lord would get all the honor and glory and not man. That was in a prayer this evening, that he would receive all the honor and glory. Because if we take it the other way, the way the world takes it, in Psalms, you know, he's plenteous in mercy to those that call on him. So they'll say, see, it's up to you to call on him. And even here, the lepers. Well, see, the lepers called on him first, and then he healed them and saved them and whatever else. But as we take line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, we say there's more to it than that. And we see it here. These lepers, they knew who Jesus was. Now, when they went two by two, did everybody believe what they were saying? No, I don't think so. We have evidence of that. Did these know, or at least one of them did? They were all healed. But this one came back to give honor and glory to the Lord. So thinking about this calling, which is to call the Lord, certainly is a valuable and important thing. But we want to put it in its proper place. Romans chapter 10. We see a very interesting passage on calling here. Or I think it's interesting. Romans 10. And verse 13, we hear this quoted a lot. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that true? Yes, it's true. But we have to look at the order of things, though. Certainly it's true, it's in the scriptures. Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every one of them will, let me say this, will have been saved. Say it that way. But we hear this quote a lot. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hear it on television. You pray this prayer and you'll be saved. Or maybe come up to a mourner's bench and you pray and you'll be saved. But they put that man taking the first step. So I'll read 13 again, then we'll read a little farther. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? So we'll go back to the lepers. They called on the name of the Lord, but how would they call on him if they didn't know who he was or believe in him? Well, they wouldn't have, but they were preached to. That's why they called. There was another step before. Actually, more than one step before. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Same way, those lepers, they believed that he could heal them. Well, how could they do that? They had heard. Tells us something else too, doesn't it? They had hearing ears, didn't they? How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? Well, they wouldn't. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? They wouldn't. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I was talking to a pastor one time. We was talking about some different things, and this is a little bit off my subject, I guess, but it came to mind. And we was talking about things. Were they literal, or did they mean something else with a deeper meaning? And it was a good discussion, as these things should be. We didn't agree, but it's a good discussion. And then at one point, I said, take off your shoes. We were sitting in my office. I had a desk, or always had a Bible at my desk. I said, take off your shoes. He said, what? I said, well, you've been a pastor for many years. I said, I want to see if your feet's beautiful. And I quote that scripture. He said, what doesn't mean that? I said, exactly. Exactly. It's not talking about the physical beautiful feet. It's talking about the walk, isn't it? Okay. And again, it, I don't know if it was risky me saying that or not, but it went well. And the story goes on, which I won't talk about tonight. So, we see this here. There's a series of events that somebody's in control of. We know who that is. So, we've looked at he's plenteous in mercy to those that call on him. He healed those lepers that called on him. And here, ask some questions about calling. Well, how can this take place if other things haven't taken place? And it wouldn't. But these other things have taken place. Is he merciful unto everyone? I want to go to, we go here frequently, haven't for a while, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, you're familiar with the portion that we typically look at and typically read. And it's a hard scripture to comprehend or believe. Maybe that, I don't know if I'm stating that properly or not. But many do not believe this. Maybe that's a way of saying it. So, we're asking our text, he's plenteous in mercy to those who call upon him. So is that out there for everybody then? Well, it's up to anybody that wants to, they call, and he has plenteous mercy on them. So then, is that mercy for anybody? Matthew 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And I can see Peter, the one asking this question. I don't know which one it was. But see, at this point in time, well, of course, the disciples didn't understand everything either that he said, did they? He said, you will later. You can't understand it now. But they said, they saw, and I'm not sure what reason they said it. Maybe they was worried about their own skin, which they didn't know that they were later. He said, Lord, they don't understand what you're saying. We get it, but they don't understand what you're saying. They're getting upset. Why are you speaking to them in parables? Why don't you just explain it to them plain like you have to us in our private settings? And he answers them. In verse 11. He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's tough for many to believe or to understand. But it's given to some. Some it's not given. Maybe I should go on. So they asked him, why are you speaking in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. One of the scriptures says, even that he seemeth to have. 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And I know that's difficult. And it may give cause to some stand in judgment against God. That's not fair. How do I look at it? Thank you, Lord, that you've caused me to see, open my eyes and ears, and understand. 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart has become gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Boy, that's a lot. So then, he spoke in parables for the specific reason that some would not see, would not hear, would not be converted, would not be healed. That's what it's saying. 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So, who do you think will call upon the name of the Lord? We looked there in Romans. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Who do you think will call? Won't it be some that has been given ears and eyes and understanding that they would know to call on him? Like the lepers. They knew to call on him. But to those that had not been given, would they know to call on him? And the answer is no. These that he has given life, ears, eyes, understanding, those are the ones that will call upon the name of the Lord. Those are the ones when they call upon the Lord, and he'll be merciful unto them. He's already been merciful because they see, hear, and understand only by his mercy. You understand what we're looking at here. When you talk about who the honor and glory goes to, some people says, well, you're splitting hairs. Boy, I don't think so. I don't think so. Who gets the honor and glory? How much honor and glory does he get? 99%? 90%? We know the answer to that. So these are the ones that the Lord will be merciful to. It says he is plenteous in mercy to those that call upon him. These ones that he blinds their ears and eyes, they're not going to call on him. Why would they if they don't know? If they don't know that who he is, they wouldn't call on him. But he's caused them to know. He's caused them to see, hear, and understand. And he has different means to do that as well. We won't go read there, but Proverbs 20 and 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Now, our physical ears and eyes? Yes, of course. But the spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, it's the Lord that makes those. Those lepers, we've already established that the Lord sent people ahead to preach or witness, if you will. But Terry, for that to mean anything, they had to have ears. They had to have understanding. So the first step wasn't them calling on the Lord to have mercy on. That wasn't the first step at all. Maybe go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Don't go there too often. book of Joshua, actually the last chapter in Joshua. I'll just read one verse here, Joshua 24 and 15 I have highlighted. This is a scripture that you have heard so much or so many times, a portion of it has been quoted. And I'll read what you hear quoted all the time. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You hear that all the time. At the end of some messages on television, you hear that all the time. In fact, choose you for it's everlasting too late, you'll hear him say. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What are they saying then? You take that first step. Which gives you honor and glory. But what does it say? And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what, he's not saying you make a decision here. He said, if you're not going to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you're going to serve. The gods on the other side of the river before we came over in the land of Canaan. Or the gods of where we are now, the Amorites and everything. Just choose between them. It don't make any difference. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then it don't make any difference. They're all false gods. I was going to tonight, but the Lord changed my mind. Boy, I've said before, really sad time, some sad things in the scriptures, and certainly the Lord being crucified is one of them. Another one I went to many times, they had, for generations, they had been waiting to go in that land of promise. And they sent spies over, and the spies come back and said, oh yeah, it's a land that flows with milk and honey, but we can't have it. And they said they wept that night. How sad. That, to me, that's a very, very sad thing. But this talking about, well, if you're not going to serve the true God, just choose it, don't make any difference. They're all false God, don't make any difference. But there's a scripture in Asa's time, not just his time, but I've been looking at that one, how they were serving these false gods. And Betty, it just breaks your heart, the things that they did. It would just, Lord willing, we'll maybe talk about this next week. But here, but it was with false gods and the extent they would go to and everything. But he says, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, it doesn't make any difference. Choose which one. Those gods there, those gods here, doesn't make any difference, is what it's saying. But how does the world use that? They'll take that one little part. Choose the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's up to you. You take the first step. Then you call on him and he'll be merciful to you and save you and all that. But that's not what it says at all. How many times have you heard on television? I know you've heard on television or other places, choose this day whom you will serve. I know you've heard that many, many times. How many times have you heard the whole verse read? For me, it's been zero. I'm sure there's others out there, okay? I'm sure they are, but for me, I've heard zero. And I know, again, certainly there's other believers out there that know better than that. So here in Joshua, who took the first step? If it's easy to choose this day whom you will serve. Well, it certainly wasn't them. So who takes the first step? I want to go to some other places. Let's go to Jeremiah. You're familiar with this. Jeremiah chapter 1. Going back to our text, he's merciful to those that call upon him. Is that the first step? And we've already shown, certainly that's not the first step. You know, whosoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. But we know that's not the first step. We read that in Romans. So here again in Jeremiah, we're looking for who takes the first step. Is it man? Is it us choosing? Is it us believing? Is it us crying out to him? Is that the first step? Jeremiah chapter 1, and I know it's very familiar, and thank God it is. So verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the womb, or belly, your Bible might say, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So, Jeremiah was going to be a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was going to believe in the Lord. Did Jeremiah take first steps? My goodness, look at this. Before he formed him in the womb, I believe it was before conception. He said, I knew you. Of course, God knows all things. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Knew him as a sheep. And it says something else then. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. It says ordained, we could say predestinated there. I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. So was it Jeremiah doing all these things to make this come to pass? And the answer is no. You say, well, what if Jeremiah didn't want to be a prophet to the nations? Well, he didn't. And we read that in the verse 6. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. He didn't want to. Was he going to be? Absolutely he was going to be. Was this just a lucky guess of the Lord? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Was that a lucky guess? And again, that's crazy talking, I understand. Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Could Jeremiah have been an unbeliever? No. Did Jeremiah call on the name of the Lord? Of course he did in prayers and everything. Of course he did. But something took place first. It wasn't Jeremiah's calling first. It was God first. I was going to go on a few more verses there, but I don't think I will. So, first step, choices. Who does it? This is probably not a good analogy, it's just come to mind. They talk about, I think I heard on television today, if you're trying to find out these wicked or mean or negative things, follow the money, they say. Follow the money. And again, probably terrible comparison. But if you're talking about follow the honor and glory, if you're talking to other people in your own self, follow the honor and glory. Where does it go to? If it stops here, then it's not true. Acts chapter 9, let's go there. We're still looking at first steps. Is the first step us calling on the Lord to have mercy on us? Is that the first step? And absolutely not that the first step. That is not the first step. So here's one. This is Saul of Tarshish, where he was converted on the road to Damascus. And you know the story and everything. We know Paul was converted. Was it Paul's decision to choose the Lord, to accept the Lord and so forth? Or was it something took place first? Well, and let me just look at so Ananias, when he told Ananias, you go to him, because I've blinded him. You go to him. He's seen you in a vision. You go to him and lay your hands and open his eyes and so forth. And Ananias said, Lord, I've heard a lot about this guy and what he's done. And in fact, I've heard news gets around, and I've heard he's on the way to Damascus right now to do what he's done. Are you and I shouldn't say it this way, but Ananias was kind of saying, are you sure this is the right one? I want to make sure this is the right one before I go. You sure it's not another one? But verse 15 of Acts 9, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He didn't say he will be. He said he is. Paul wasn't a believer yet at this time. He'd struck him down, but he wasn't a believer. So later, of course, we know and everything, but I want to look at the first steps. Was the first steps taken to Paul that he was a believer and he prayed to God and called on him? No, it was all of God. He was already a chosen vessel, just as Jeremiah. And let me say this, just as much as you and I. We won't go, but you know the account of Jacob and Esau, another scripture that people has problems with. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Before they were still in the womb, had not been born yet. I don't know how many weeks or how many months they were, but they're still in the womb. God said, I love this one, I hate this one. And not according to what they did, according to God, according to election. Again, where does that put the honor and glory? To the Lord, not to Jacob, to the Lord. I was going to go, and I won't, to when Samuel back there, whenever the Lord called him, he didn't even recognize the Lord called him. He went into Eli the priest, says, you called? No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He went back to bed. Lord called again. He went to Eli again. You called? No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He didn't know the Lord, and it tells us that. But it was the Lord calling him. So I mentioned that Jeremiah and Paul were both chosen before. Jacob, chosen before. So I want to go to the book of Ephesians. Yes, that first chapter of Ephesians, which is hated by many. And why is it hated? I heard, well, I won't go into detail what I heard a man say on television about it. But why do they dislike this? Why do they hate this? Because it leaves no honor and glory for man. It all goes to the Lord. So, I want to see here, I mentioned that Jeremiah was, you know, chosen before. Samuel chosen before. Paul elected and chosen before. And I said, and so were you, but I want to give you proof. I hope you're not tired of hearing this. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, starting. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's in the body of Christ, that's in his church, two churches. According as he has chosen us in him, according as God has chosen his elect in Christ, after they call out to him, not what it says, according as God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's true about Saul, true about Samuel, true about Jeremiah, true about you. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be whole without blame before him, without blame before him in love. Having predestinated. I've told you many stories about people that dislike that word. I told you about the doctor that I went through for many years. And that's the first thing she said when we discussed it. She says, well, we're still in the Bible Belt, and that's kind of a dirty word here. And it is. But at the end, she said, well, I can't say that it's not true. Anyway, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, through which he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You see, it leaves us out. We're on the receiving end. I shouldn't say leaves us out of it. We are in it, but we're just on the receiving end. That's it. Verse 7, to whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to, if we call out to him, according if we turn over a new leaf, not what it says at all. See, that'd be giving some honor and glory to us, and it all goes straight to the Lord. According to the riches of his grace. So the first steps, not us. Our lesson said, he's plenteous in mercy to those who call upon him. And that is true. But who's going to call on him? Those that he has ordained, those that he has predestinated, those that he has chosen. In fact, and well, the lepers and so forth, we won't go to John either, John 10. He tells the Pharisees there, and he says, you don't believe on me because you're not my sheep. If you're not his sheep, they couldn't believe. We saw that in Matthew chapter 13. So I just want us to always see where the honor and glory goes. It's he that has mercy, not because we call. We call because he has given hearing ears and seeing eyes. I think I've got that backward before. I think I've said seeing ears and hearing eyes before. And so I always try not to do that. But it's him that does it. And those, just like the lepers, they wouldn't have called on him if they didn't know. So other steps taken. The Lord sent people there before to witness and to preach. And he also gave them hearing ears and seeing eyes. David's helping me there with that. Gave them hearing ears and seeing eyes. Calls them to believe that he could. Calls them to believe he was plenteous in mercy, because that's what they said. Have mercy on us. So, as we look at scriptures like that, it'd be easy to say, plenteous in mercy on those that call upon him. You see how so easy it is for the world to say, see, you have to call on him first. And where does that put the honor and glory? With us and not the Lord. May the Lord bless the speaking of his word. We're dismissed.